Hello, and welcome to the Acacia Learning Podcast, where we explore what's going on in the world of HR. I'm Krishna Vaitalingam, your host, and today we'll be discussing the impact that COVID-19 has had on HR and learning development. Joining me today is a fantastic panel of experts, Marco van Dijk and Julie Cook, who I will kindly ask to introduce themselves when they first speak. So my first question. The news is filled with stories of companies who are cutting their workforces as a direct result of COVID. Taking this rather dreary piece of information into account, do you think a more relevant time has existed for HR or learning and development than right now? Julie, I'd love to hear your
thoughts.
Thank
you, Krishna. So I'm Julie Cook, the founder of Acacia Learning. My background's in HR and L&D and teaching the same. I'm really interested that you've introduced that question. I've been in HR for a very long time, and I don't think there's ever been a time when it's been more relevant for all sorts of reasons, which we'll be exploring during this podcast. But it, regardless of whether a company's hiring or firing or changing, HR's got to be at the lead with all of that and highly supported by the L&D function. So over to you, Marco.
Hi, thank you, Julie. My name is Marco van Dijk. I've been initially a manager in operations for quite a while, and then that moved into managing and the training and development of line managers, and in more recent years, also training and development in more educational settings. So quite a bit of a passion for the learning and development. And Krishna, to link into what Julie have just said there, a lot of people are going to have to make a lot of changes because of this significant time that we're going through. So I think in answer to your question, in terms of relevance of HR and L&D, there is now more than ever before, it's very important that the learning development function and the HR function have a place within the business. A lot of organizations are now going to have to rethink things, because we keep saying that once everything changes and everything settles down, we're going back to the norm. But the fact is that the norm as we know it is going to shift. It's going to change. So standard operating procedures as we know them and anything a business do is going to change. So, of course, as Julie mentioned, at the center of all of this will be the HR function and the learning and development provision that's going to help redirect people to whatever this new norm is going to look like. And also interesting bit of reading it from a company called Optimus Learning. They did the article in May that also reconfirmed that HR is now inundated with requests for development and support on well-being and mental health. So it's not only how we do the learning provision, but also what we actually do in terms of development that we're going to have to rethink. So now more than ever, I think there's a big focus for L&D and for HR.
Amazing. Thanks, guys. Lots of food for thought there. And I'm going to go straight into my second question, because I think it links in nicely to some of the answers that you guys have both given. So rather than hiring new staff, some companies are completely retraining their staff where they have had to adapt. So there are examples of this in the hospitality or retail industries. So my question is retraining staff a cheaper long-term strategy than firing people and hiring them in the future with people who have more experience? Marco, would love to know what you think about this one.
That's an interesting question, and I think a lot of businesses are often having to ask themselves that, do we keep people, do we retrain, do we let people go? In times like this and other economic difficulties, cutting the likes of L&D and similar support functions, it is an easy short-term solution, and it does show immediate results. It is one of those things that reducing wages, reducing salaries, whether we like it or not, it does actually make a difference to our financial ability. The problem, though, is that it doesn't necessarily provide a business with longevity in terms of business growth, because we always need increasing skills and there's always an increasing demand for flexible workforce, which ultimately necessitates ongoing learning. So employees will always have to keep developing for organizations to remain competitive. So it is a bit of a tricky one in terms of, do we keep people and develop them and retrain them, or do we let them go? But there is some interesting research that the Association for Talent Development did. And they did some research into organizations that do training and found that the organizations that do training have more than 200% higher income per employee than those without formalized training.
Wow.
And it doesn't actually stop there either, because those companies do enjoy almost 25%, well, 24% higher profit margins than those that don't spend on training at all. So it looks like even in economic downturn and crisis like these, it still makes sense to invest in training people rather than letting them go. So, yes, it is cheaper to develop your workforce rather than let them go and then rehire them. What's your thoughts on this, Julie?
I think you're absolutely right there, Marco. I think in so many ways, they may have been trained into new roles, but they understand the company culture. They've got some loyalty. And that all means feeling valued and being committed to the company. So I think it's massively better to do that. And also, if you set it up in a quite a flexible way, so people have the opportunity to trial a new way of working, something different, if they find it's not for them, to have that honest conversation down the line. But to, you know, like a lot of people perhaps thought they would hate working from home, and quite a lot of people like it. So similarly with our move to more live online classes, quite a lot of learners have liked it. So it is a matter of trying to buy into your current loyalty and give people the opportunity to grow into new roles, and then check out with them how it's going.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. I mean, yeah, fantastic answers. And Marco mentioned earlier that HR is being inundated with queries pertaining to mental health and well-being. So I guess one of my questions is, do you think there is an ethical responsibility for a company to retrain or attempt to retrain their staff as opposed to hiring and then or firing and subsequently hiring? Do you think there's an ethical responsibility there?
Okay.
Julie, I'd love to hear what you think about this.
HR does have to be the ethical voice of a business, or one of the people to be an ethical voice of the business, and part of their role, I think, is to make that to persuade senior managers, top decision makers in organisation of the values and benefits of that, and using research such as that Marco has just mentioned, that it is worth their while to take that stance and be responsible. And there's been some bad press, I think, about some organisations during the crisis that have not been very keen to preserve jobs and to put their people first. And I think that's I think that's going to come back to bite them.
That's a very good point you make there, Julia. I think you've hit the nail on the head there with HR being the benchmark of some of the ethics in the business. And I think it's quite important that businesses acknowledge that there's more than just the cost implication. When we think about learning, development and HR, it's not just about saving money and the costs there. There's a lot of ethical responsibility there. But also lots of research that do suggest that if you manage the L&D provision correctly, and it's not so much the numbers of things you do in training, but doing the right things in terms of the types you put on, it's not only helping the business financially, but it also increases morale, motivation, engagement. That will all ultimately lead to better productivity and sales. But from an employee's perspective, it is that care factor. Getting the right information, getting the right development. So that is definitely where doing it right is addressing the ethical part of this as well, and it's not just the costs.
Perfect. Thank you for that. And one question that I've got is, what's the impact on an individual's development if learning and development is cut? Julie. Can I please? I'd love to hear what you
think. So the implications if learning development's cut?
Or for an individual. So we've spoken about the impact of learning and development and the cuts to budget on the profitability of a company, but what are the impacts to an individual if learning, you know, could you speak to the importance of having to constantly develop?
Well, I think that has to be the culture going forward. We live in a fast-changing world that the COVID has just speeded that need to change up faster, and that means an ongoing need for learning and development. And I think that we've grown away from a lifetime when jobs were for more or less for life, and people didn't change very much. They learnt their trade and performed that for 40 years, to a world where people are probably going to have lots of different careers, and automation of so many jobs will mean carrying on fast changing. So I think people in the habit need to be in the habit of learning and keep going on their learning journeys. And this has just been speeded up, I think, by COVID.
What about you, Marco? What do you think about the importance of a person taking their learning and development into their own hands?
I think there's a lot to be said for how things have changed over time. And learning development is not just the skills that people are going to be gaining through these processes. It's also giving them a sense of ownership over their own growth. And because of it, a lot of how we provide learning development is changing. And there's a lot more of the likes of social learning, mobile learning, on the go. We're forever throwing information at people on the go. So there's definitely a lot of change to how people do learning. And the idea is that learning should never stop. It's always going to be an ongoing thing. So especially in a time like now, people are... well, feeling a bit fragile, I guess. So, of course, they are always looking at, okay, what do I do if things don't work my way? So, of course, the learning development is also helping build confidence. So not so much just the topics and the content that they get, but knowing that they are doing ongoing learning is that sense of confidence that, you know what, I'll be okay and there's more out there, and if I need to, I can move to other things. So I think it's important that organizations and the individuals within the organizations see the importance of learning as an ongoing, as Julie said, it should just be part of what happens anyway.
Perfect. Well, thanks both. That's a couple of great answers once more. I guess I'll direct this initially at Julie, because Julie, you obviously set up and founded Acacia Learning, and you were present during the 2007 financial crisis, and here we are in 2020 on the cusp of another. And I guess I'd ask, what was the impact of 2007 to learning and development budgets? And do you think we'll follow a similar pattern post-COVID?
Well, certainly there was an impact. Obviously, it's rightly or wrongly, it's quite an easy thing for an employer to cut or to freeze and to push it back and all that kind of thing. So there were certainly some pluses to the previous cuts, though, because I think when people didn't have that facility, they realised that they made a good case down the line for investing in it, because they realised they'd made a mistake. Certainly for training companies like Acacia, however, it meant that because there was higher unemployment, there was more need for qualifications. So when the job market's a bit tighter, qualifications become more important. And overall, that's been a long-term good thing in terms of upskilling the HR profession, so that even when we've not been in close to full employment, people have still got that ethos of getting qualified as well to do the jobs as well as they can. So I think there's swings and roundabouts with it. And I think we recovered well from the last recession, I think we'll be flexible, we'll be adaptable, and we'll come with the help of L&D and good HR people, we'll come through this.
I definitely agree with what Julie said there, because as we saw in 2007, we are now seeing again that a lot of organizations is now reconsidering their L&D provision. And yes, unfortunately, in some cases, having to make significant redundancies. I work with a large restaurant group, and they've had to cut their L&D provision by 75%. So organizations do have to rethink what they do for L&D. But on the flip side, as Julie have mentioned there, it does then mean that because they're reducing their internal learning development, it creates opportunities to then use external providers as and when required to get that specialist knowledge into the business. So as Julie said, I guess swings and roundabouts in how this works. And I do see a pattern from what happened in 2007. So it'll be interesting to see where things go going forward, because as much as it's easy to cut now, 6 months down the line, when people are asking for this learning provision, if you don't have people, then where do you go? So it is interesting to see where things will go going forward.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. And I guess a lot of this podcast is centered around COVID and the reaction of HR and learning development to the lockdown. And I've kind of tried to avoid a topic that had previously sort of dominated the headlines, which is Brexit. But I guess one question that I'd love to know your thoughts on is, ignoring COVID, has learning and development been affected by Brexit anyway, or has Brexit not really had an impact on learning and development? Who wants to go first? Dealer's choice.
If I may jump in there, Julia.
Of course.
I think there's been there's been quite a lot of turmoil when we got the actual decision for Brexit. So not even now, then already. A lot of organizations had to suddenly start to rethink their workforce profile, because we now know that our labor pool is shrinking and it's changing on a daily basis. And a lot of organizations that depend on the EU nationals now have to rethink about what this looks like and how they're going to actually maintain what they do as a business. So, of course, a lot of businesses now have to rethink the workforce as a whole, and just generally the way they do their resourcing and their talent planning. So, of course, L&D will, and rightly so, probably take more emphasis going forward because of Brexit. And then on top of that, because of COVID-19, that just adds another really complex layer to this. So, yes, Brexit, and then on top of that, now the COVID situation we have has significantly impacted organizations. They have to rethink development of the workforce. So not only the content that they develop, but how they develop the people to maintain flexibility. And of course, then also trying to address some of these new skills requirements that's come because of these situations. What do you think, Julie?
Totally agree. I mean, I guess Brexit was such a huge thing that it came along, and Brexit seemed to shrink down into significance, but I don't think it's unrelated, because I think the need to change and more agile, learn and develop your people quicker is definitely even more important now. I think with the COVID and the appreciation of workers, NHS, a lot of whom come from Europe, we need to be thinking very carefully about how we manage Brexit and how we plan for the future and develop and get the best out of the people that we have got available to us.
Yes.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. And I guess one of the final things I'd like to explore is, so it seems like the entire country is adapting to COVID and lockdown, and a lot of people are being forced to work from home and doing their various jobs. That's out of necessity. Do you think that the pattern of people working from home or working in a physical office will change going forward? And do you think that HR is ready for this? Marco, would love to know what you think on that.
That is an interesting one. I think the way people work is going to include much more remote working. I think a lot of people have now realized that you do not have to be in a specific location to get the same work done. And organizations are starting to now open up more to the idea that people can work from anywhere. And that's now been proven to a large extent with COVID-19. So, of course, for HR and for the learning development provision within organizations, that's going to be very similar. They probably have a bigger role now to support people, because remote working is slightly different to try and manage. And learning and development and HR processes, it comes in many shapes and sizes and different initiatives, different approaches. So it's trying to think about what's fit for purpose for a specific organization, because in general, acquiring information is relatively easy in a current day and age that we're living in. Learning is not necessarily that. So learning does involve a little bit of linking concepts together, seeing the relevance in a specific context, being able to apply that. So whilst it's easy enough to get people to find things through a remote platform, we still need that human interface, and we still need people to help connect the dots, as they were. And I think that's where HR and learning and development functions are going to have to rethink things, because people will be wanting to work remotely. But just doing remote learning isn't necessarily going to yield all the benefits that it needs. So yeah, interesting time for HR and L&D when we think about remote working.
What do you think about remote working and working from home? And
well,
HR,
agree with everything Marco's. Yes, it's a big topic. And Marco's pulled out a few very key points, including the way of rethinking learning, but the importance of safer practical skills, maybe people having to still coming back for face-to-face learning. But I think the challenges of going back physically into the workplace is also quite an interesting one for HR. A lot of health and safety considerations, both the practicalities of cleanliness and distancing and all those kind of issues, but also the psychological ones, and certainly talking to people who, a lot of people seem to have got very used to living in their homes, working in their homes, and a new way of life, and are quite frightened about going back to them. Also other people in different situations, they're desperate to get back. So I think it's very much a role for HR and for L&D to help the return to whatever the new normal is, both in terms of preparing in terms of health and safety and well-being, but also if people have not been working for 6 months, that's things change, people forget things. I think there's a big role for L&D in getting people back into work and refreshers and things like that. And I think whatever aspect of HR or L&D, you've got a big role to play in the return to semi-normal, new normal, whatever we're going to call it.
Thanks so much, Marco and Julie, for your time. That is essentially all of the questions that I wanted to ask. Unless either of you at this stage can think of anything that you'd like to discuss, which is also an option.
I'll mention an article I read recently. It's by Elizabeth Howlett that published an article in June in People Management. And she quoted the founder of Amici Performance Services, who said that because of COVID-19, it's actually accelerated their thinking about L&D and how they budget for L&D significantly. So they are kind of implying that inevitably we would have gotten to this point in time where we have to completely rethink what we do with it. It's just this was the little push, the catalyst, that a lot of organizations needed to just try it out and see where it goes. So I do think there's exciting times ahead for people to rethink what they're doing. Interesting to see where things go.
Oh, that's interesting, Marco. So you think that some of the changes that we've had since COVID would have possibly arisen, but through a different cause entirely. So you think that we were on the cusp of having some sort of change anyway? How, I guess it's very difficult for you to say, but what would you do? You think COVID has just fast tracked that by like 5 years or something? I mean, it's fast tracked everything.
It has, and I think it's one of those that we probably eventually would have slowly started to rethink what we do in terms of our HR support and our learning and development provision. And we probably eventually would have gotten to the point where we do much more of these blended approaches. And this was just a bit of a nudge to say, look, have a go at this and let's see how it goes. So I think a lot of businesses will probably now sit back and think, okay, in reflection, where to from here? Because we've tried things, not necessarily because we wanted to go there, but we were forced. And it just opens up people's minds to try new things. So, yeah, see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of sort of stories about companies who are actually making money where others are losing money during COVID. I mean, could this actually end up being a more profitable way of working for companies, accidentally so?
That's an interesting one. I think a lot of people will probably see this as an opportunity to review the way they spend their budget when it comes to learning and development processes and HR in general. Because, of course, there is the obvious cost saving in not physically putting a person in a room to facilitate whatever learning needs to take place in the traditional formats. But as I mentioned earlier, there is no replacement for that human element. And whilst a lot of people will be quite happy to go through the self-learning processes, I also know from my own personal experience with people that a lot of people would rather have a real person in a real room to have a real conversation with. I think definitely some cost-saving opportunities for businesses, but I think they need to appreciate the human element there.
What about you, Julie? What do you think about what Marco said? Controversial points?
I think it's spot on. I mean, I know from people I've seen have just started sort of mixing a little bit more as the rules are relaxing, and how much they've appreciated actually having some face-to-face interaction with people. I think it is part of human nature, it is most unnatural for us. And I think we will be coming back together. However, Acacia Learning's doing a survey imminently to actually gauge what companies are thinking about the return to ways of teaching and learning and how people feel about moving back into more face-to-face. So we're doing quite a comprehensive survey. I believe it's going out in about a week's time. And we'll be publishing the results, of course, and sharing those with everybody.
Perfect. Thanks for letting us know, Julie. Look forward to seeing the survey results. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much, Julie and Marco, for joining me today. Thank you all for listening. If you have any questions for our panel, drop us a DM on social media and we'll get back to you. You can find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Acacia Learning. See you all again soon.